Well, welcome to Goodview Baptist Church. It is good to see you in person. We have been missing that. We've been able to do our online services, and many of you have been watching us online, and we're grateful for that. We had no idea what to expect today, and we are very pleased with your coming today. And this is a special day. It's Father's Day, and we hope it'll be special for you. I'm going to ask all of our fathers if they'll just stand up and let us recognize you at this time. You may be seated. Thank you for being here. There are differences that we've had to make due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and we'll not be saying these things every week, but we want to do it today while you're actually back. And one of them is the chairs have been moved apart. Families are welcome to sit together, and we're trying to observe the social distancing. So thank you for understanding that and being patient with us. As far as our 8:30 service and children's church and nursery, you know, we're monitoring those things, and as soon as we can get back to doing those on a regular basis and we feel it's appropriate to do so, we'll get back. Hopefully we can make some changes in July. We'll see as we get closer to that. For us as a church, in some ways we've continued as we always have as far as ministering to people, but in a large way there's been things that have been limited. For me personally, you know, going to the nursing homes and visiting in the hospitals have just not been allowed. And so we've had to cut back on almost all of that. And then visiting some of you older people, which I am now a member of, we've not done hardly any visitation either, which really has also resulted in our flow of information has been very, very limited. So if you're wondering, I wonder why nobody called me when I was sick for 3 weeks. We didn't know. And so one of the advantages of being back to church is people begin talking about things that are going on in their life or other people's lives, and you get to hear those things. So we are glad that you're back. And a couple things we'll not be doing, just so you'll know that. We'll not be passing the notebooks for attendance. We'll not be taking an offering publicly. We'll not be handing out bulletins. On the back wall where Clark is standing in the back is a box. And so if you want to share an offering today, you can just place that in there, and then we'll collect that after the service. So our normal taking up of an offering will be done differently at this time. I heard a pastor say, and I've only seen a few people over the last 3 months from the church, mostly the praise team and ones who've come here for service. So you've probably heard this a couple times, but for many of you, you haven't. But I heard a pastor say, you know, we're all in the same boat. And his response was, no, we're not in the same boat. We're in the same storm, but not the same boat. Some people are on yachts, some people are on speedboats, some people are on canoes, and some people are holding on to driftwood. And so we've been affected differently. For some of you, you're working at home now, which maybe you like. For others of you, maybe you've lost your job. Hours have been cut back, and visiting relatives in hospitals has been cut back. And I've done a couple funerals during this time, and there's been changes even in a funeral service and whether you could meet in the chapel or a graveside service. So we've been affected differently. But I hope you have found that the Lord has been faithful through all of that. We recognize all of our fathers just a moment ago, but I'd like to recognize some individual fathers. As many of you know who've been here for a while, we try to honor our mothers on Mother's Day. We did that online this year. And we try to honor our fathers on Father's Day. And I come up with these categories that are maybe a little bit crazy and give out to fathers. Now, we're going to do something different today that I've never done before because we've never been out of church 3 months before. So I'm going to recognize some fathers today, and I'm going to ask them to come on stage with me at this time. The first two probably can't come, but I'm going to mention them anyway, Jay Adams and Roger Wright. I mention these dads because they have been here running the sound for us and giving their time, and Jay sort of locked into the board back there, so he can't come up. But they were two I wanted to recognize today. And then Chris Walker. Is Chris here? He's in the booth with technical difficulties. So when you get free, Chris, you can come up too. So after I mention all these names, it'll probably be just me on stage, it looks like. But anyway, I mentioned those. Otis Chambers, I think Otis is back there with a technical difficulty. Otis, you can come up, and Chris, you guys can come up. Otis has helped us with our video production back there and been here. John Womble, John, you come up on stage with me here. John has helped us in our, with our orchestra and been able to come some for that. Is Steve Glass here? Steve's not here today. Steve, if you're watching online, and you better be. They're not. Nobody's watching online right now, so we're okay. Aren't you glad you came to church today? So if you've been like me, sitting in your pajamas or shorts with a biscuit watching church, that's changing a little bit during these times. Jamie, is he back? He's technical back there. This is really working out. There's sometimes you're glad things aren't online. Larry C. and Craig Rogers, if you guys will come up here. And Stan, I'm not calling your name to come up here, but if you can bring me that bag that's right there under those two bags, and bring one of those bags with me, and the other bag too. Not the other bag, that one. Yes. Both of them. We've got gift cards we want to give to these dads, and the ones that are not here we'll give to them today. So they are our sort of our winners and our gift things today, and I'm going to give you the responsibility of handing out one to everybody. So when you get that, you guys can make your way down from the stage. A couple of things we've tried to do to keep touch with you as a church family over the last couple of months. Hopefully all of you that maybe have attended our church, I hope everybody got one. I know we delivered probably over 230, 240 of these bags, with an extra bag for maybe a neighbor or a friend of yours. And these were all delivered to people's homes. And so this was one of the ways that we tried to keep in touch with you on a personal basis, even though we were away. And I appreciate the ladies' ministry team sharing this idea and heading this up for us. We also have done online services that most Sundays are actually there through Facebook and YouTube. And if you have online access, but you're not sure how to do that, talk to some of us today and we'll help you with that. We've tried to contact our people through care groups, so hopefully you got some phone calls. Some of your numbers we didn't have correctly, so we've got to go back and make adjustments there. And then it was one other way we've tried to get in touch with you, and I can't remember it right now. But thanks for all who've done that. I'm going to ask Chris to come. And since we're not having our children's church today, he's going to share a children's story with us.
All right, good morning, boys and girls, moms and dads, adults, thank you for being here. Got the bicycle here today, we're ready to go. How many of you, whether you're old or young, like to ride bicycles? Anybody out there? Anybody like to ride bicycles? So the picture up here on the screen behind me is my two kids, and they go on bike rides with me, and Isabella has gotten really good at riding her bike. And this is the summer that Josh gets to learn how to ride his bike. And so yesterday we were out trying to ride and get the balancing all down. And when I was Josh's age, he's 8, is when I learned how to ride my bike too. And so I use my bicycle to deliver newspapers. I use my bicycle to jump ramps. And I even use my bicycle to run into road signs. That's very painful. I would not recommend that to anybody, young or old. I still like to go super fast on my bike. This isn't my bike because it's a little small, but I can ride if I need to. When I hop on my bike, I don't think about how it works anymore. I just hop on and I just ride. But yesterday, Josh asked me a very important question while he was riding his bike. He said, what would happen if there were no pedals? Think about that for just a minute. What would happen if there were no pedals on your bicycle? It'd be hard to ride. In fact, that being a good question, the designer of the bike, the modern bike, thought that these pedals would be a good thing to help move that back tire. And that's very important because you want to, as you get older, go faster and faster and faster on the bikes. He or she, I'm not sure who designed the modern bike, thought that pedals would be a good thing. In fact, most of these bikes have the same basic setup. They might be bigger or smaller, but they have wheels, they have handlebars, they have a seat, and they have pedals that when you turn them around and around, they push that bicycle faster and faster. They come from a designer. This bike is designed to ride, and to ride with a little bit of speed as well. Well, let me compare that to creation.
When you walk outside today, you might see the sun. Tonight, you'll see the moon and you'll see the stars. You'll see mountains, you'll see trees, sky, flowers, trees. Sometimes we just go outside, and like me, when I ride my bicycle, I don't think a lot about it, I just hop on it. We just go through life and we don't notice all the creation around us. But the Bible says that God is trying to speak through us with creation. Genesis says this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Romans 1 says this, that we can understand God from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. That we understand who God is and how strong he is and how big he is just from walking outside and seeing creation. He is creator, he is the designer, and everything shows off his glory. As a designer, he shows that he had plans and purpose for it. Now, boys and girls, your bike has a designer, and it shows the intention of being able to ride it and stay in balance and ride it fast and innovation. It's come along, bikes get different size, different shape, different things like that. In the same way, our world has a creator that shows intention and innovation. So as you go out today and tomorrow and you ride your bikes, I want you to enjoy creation as well, and we do that all for God's glory. God is the master designer, and he shows us so much. And so, boys and girls, I want to leave you with that today. I hope you have a good Father's Day, and I hope that you get to ride your bikes today. If not, tell Dad to take you for a ride.
Thank you for joining us online. I think we had some technical difficulties and some glitches, but I think we are online now, so you may have joined us a little bit late because of that, but thank you for joining us today. I want to open up with a word of prayer, and as I do so, the praise team can come up. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us and that you are our Heavenly Father, and that as your children, you look after our needs and you care about us and what's going on in our life. And we pray for those that are here today and those that may be watching online today or throughout the week, that you might draw them close to yourself. Father, I guess we've been reminded of the brevity of life and how things can quickly change how we live. But as Christians, we know we can trust you, that you are in charge of all things, and just draw us closer to you and give us a more urgent desire to put you first in our life and share your gospel with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It is so nice to see everybody here today. We're going to sing three songs, so please stand with us. I'd like to start by reading some two verses to you from Psalms 47, 6 and 7. Sing praise to God. Sing praise. Sing praise to our King. Sing praise. Sing a song of wisdom, for God is King of all the earth. You know, we have our Father in heaven that really just us moving in the right direction, and we need to honor him today. And let's worship together.
Shine.
Father our hand this morning. Our next song is a new song that we've sang a couple of times, but we want to go ahead and introduce this to you again as our worship song. And this is Good, Good Father. Thank you.
Before all this coronavirus, COVID mess, I'm going to call it, came into our lives, the choir was working on this song. This song has meant a lot to me specifically as a worship song because it just focuses totally on who God is and what He means to me and what He should be to us. This is also going to be another song that we sing corporately, so I would love for you to see the lyrics on the wall as we sing through them. But it talks about how worthy Christ is. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, "Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll with writing on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. I also saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seal?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to even look in it. And I cried and cried because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to even look in it. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Stop crying. Look, the Lion of Judah, the root of David, has been victorious so that he may open the scroll and its seven seals.'" And I'm thankful that we have the finished word of God and that it is here for us, and that one day in heaven we will see the Lion of Judah.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Beautiful song, and you did a great job on that today. Being Father's Day today, I wanted to bring a message that's not having to do with bicycles. Give us a moment. I can go ahead and start while they're getting that keyed up. But being Father's Day today, the title of my message is How to Make Dad Happy This Year. And so this is not one of them glitches in the slideshow presentation, but how can you make your dad or your father happy this year for Father's Day? For some of you, you might be thinking, well, my father's not here. He passed away, and it's going to be impossible for me to make him happy because he's not with us. Others of you might say, well, my dad was an absentee dad, or there were issues in our lives that has caused a problem in our relationship, so making my father happy is the last on my priority list. Well, that's not the father I'm talking about. How can we make our heavenly father happy? And not just today, but how can we please him throughout the year? I don't know what has gone on in your life during this pandemic, but for me, I have formed some good habits in my life because of a little bit of relaxation in my, not necessarily in my schedule, but in what I had to do. And so that has been helpful. And one of the things I've thought about is, What would we want to see happen as a church from Father's Day 2020 to Father's Day 2021 if the Lord allows us to live and he doesn't come back for us? And what I would hope would be that our commitment to the Lord is stronger than it's ever been. I hope that our desire and urgency of telling the gospel to people who are not saved will be to a higher degree than it's ever been. I believe I read some statistics a couple of weeks ago that said that alcoholism was at an all-time high, and also the search for prayer was at an all-time high. And what that says to me is people are trying to figure out how do we handle this crisis? What can get us through it? And for Christians, we know that's our relationship with the Lord. Let me read a verse to you from Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. There are a lot of people who believe that God is the Father of everyone, but that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible is very clear that we were all created in the image of God. But to be a child of God, you've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And once you have a relationship with Christ through salvation, then you have a relationship with the Father, and you are adopted, as the Scripture says, into his family. What happens when you trust Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes to reside in you, the passage says, and then we can cry out that God is our Father. Again, when you read through the Gospels, you'll read Jesus teaching that when we were born, we were not born into the kingdom of light, which represents righteousness, but we were born into the kingdom of darkness, which represents sin. We don't read that we were born into the family of God, but that Satan was our father. Now, that may be difficult to hear and even to digest, but it's a very clear teaching of Scripture. To be a child of God, you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, or maybe you're watching online and you've never entered into a relationship with Christ, what that means is that you understand before a holy God you're not holy, that we're sinners, that we can't live up to God's standards as much as we may try. And because we can't earn our salvation, we can't merit our salvation, Jesus Christ came and died for us on the cross. He took our place, he paid our penalty, and he took our punishment, and he satisfied the wrath of God on our behalf. So when we, in simple faith, say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I do believe Jesus died in my place, and the best I know how, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and come into my life and save me. When we make that decision in our heart, that's when we become a child of God, and the Holy Spirit of God begins to reside in our lives, and we can correctly call God our Father. So if you've never done that and you want to make your Father in heaven happy today, you accept him into your life as your Savior. You'll not only make your Father happy, but the angels will rejoice and heaven will rejoice because of that decision that you've made. But if you've already accepted Christ into your life, what are some things that God wants you to do? We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1. You may want to locate that in your Bibles. And there's a possibility that we might get there today. This is a little bit longer introduction than what I would normally have, but I believe it is appropriate for today. I have been listening to a lot of messages online and used a lot of my time in that way. And I heard a pastor say, you know, the issue is not when are we going to go back to church, but how are we going to go back to church? And I've added another comment to that. Who should come back to church? Well, the first question is very easy to answer. When are we going back to church? That's today, Father's Day, June the 21st. We have great attendance today. I appreciate you guys coming and supporting us today. And hopefully in July, we will go back to the early service. We're monitoring that and trying to make the right decisions in that regard. So be patient with us as we try to make the best decisions for everybody and maybe not just for a few people. So be patient with us on that. I want to talk in just a little bit of how we should come back, and then we'll come back to that next week. But who should come back to church? Who should be here? Well, our church family should be here. Now, you can break those down into categories. There's the first group I'm going to call the eager beavers. I mean, you were ready to come back a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. Just open the doors and say, when we are there, Pastor. And you were looking forward today, and you got excited, and you're here. And we're glad that you are. Another group within our church I would categorize as more concerned and cautious. They want to be back to church, but they're still concerned about what's going on in our society, and they're trying to take precautions, and when you've greeted them today, they've been a little standoffish, and that might have thrown you for a loop a little bit, but they're doing what they feel is best for them and for others. And so I hope that you have respect for those that are cautious, and all of us need to be to some extent and careful. And then there's the stay-at-home group. Some of these are older individuals and people with low immune systems, and they want to make sure everything is right because this could affect their health and maybe even their life or the life of their loved ones. And so maybe they're watching online today or they're keeping up with what's going on even though they're not physically here, and they want to be back. They just don't feel that this is quite the time for them yet. And then I thought of another group. They're the ones that are sitting home in their pajamas and their shorts, eating a biscuit and watching TV, and it's hard to break that habit. I thought about doing that today, but I thought I got to go to work today, so I'm here. My point is, when I say who should come back, those are sort of the groups within our church, and I hope that you'll have respect for every group. Whichever category you might find yourself in, or maybe another category I didn't list it, be respectful of everybody's decisions that they have to make for their own welfare and the welfare of others. But beyond our own church people who we want to come back, who else should we welcome to our church? What would our church look like if we were filled with people like this? The first category are the Republicans that are in support of Donald Trump. And they realize that he is a man that's getting it done. He might say some things and do some tweets every now and then, but they feel like his policies are best for our country, and we're on a line that honors God, and we just need to keep going that way. And if you are one of those today, you are welcome to come and just fill our church. But then there's another group that we would refer to as the Democrats. There are people that would say, Donald Trump gave a great speech last night. And if you don't believe it, just ask him. He'll tell you. He's so full of pride and so full of arrogance, and he's so divisive. And I don't see how anybody can listen to anything that he says. And we just need to get a new president. Maybe our church needs to be filled with people like that. You say, Pastor, what are you, a Republican or a Democrat? Well, I don't think I've ever stated this publicly before, but I'll do so today. I'm neither. I want to stand where the Bible stands. And if you believe that Republicans are wrong in everything that they stand for, or Democrats are wrong in everything they stand for, then you've been brainwashed. There are some good things that everybody has to say, and we need to take the good and throw out the bad, but we need to make our views, I believe, based on what scriptural principles are. So if you are a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or whoever, you are welcome at Goodview Baptist Church. Thought about some other groups that we should invite to church, and they should know that they're welcomed here, especially in the day that we're living, and that is the Black Lives Matter group. If you are an African American, we would hope that you would feel welcome here. And there are social injustices that are going on in our society today that do need to be addressed. When I get pulled over by a policeman, my thought is, I hope I don't get a ticket. When many African Americans get pulled over by a policeman, they're hoping, I hope I don't lose my life. And there's a concern today that people are being killed for minor offenses. And so there we see the protesting, which is constitutional, the riots, which have gone on that would, some people would say, have to happen to get the attention of our country and our leaders to change policies. So we need to get past the point of saying, well, you know, the black church is over there and the white church is over there. That's nowhere in Scripture. So African Americans, it would be great if our church was filled with them. You say, well, Pastor, I think we ought to have a church full of Blue Lives Matter individuals. We should invite our police force to come, and then we could know that we're safe, whatever happens in our society. And don't you understand that 99% of police officers put their life on the line every day, and they run into danger? My wife and I went out to eat this week, and a police officer that I know bought our dinner. And he watches online. If you're watching today, thank you for that. I didn't know that after you left. But I will tell you that I put the receipt on my mirror in my bathroom, and every day when I see it, which is several times a day now, especially during the night, I pray for him and pray for all of our police officers and force. So wouldn't it be great if our church was filled with just police officers? I thought it might be good if we really welcomed and focused on the CEOs. If we could get people that run businesses and they know what social involvement is and how to deal with the public and they've got managerial skills, not even to mention that they might have a little bit more money than most of us, wouldn't it be great if they came and were faithful and supported the church in every way? Wouldn't that just make our church stronger? Some of you say, well, Pastor, I think we should invite those that are poor and those that are orphaned and those that are widowed, because James said that's the measure of true religion. The real people of faith are those who reach out to those that have been neglected and put aside in our society. Well, I could go on. I could talk about Northerners and Southerners. I could talk about that the people who come here should be people that only support our church. They're 100% behind our church, and even though there may be some things that they're concerned about, they go to the appropriate people and talk about them and work them out, and their faithfulness is here. Or maybe we should just fill our church with people who used to be here and are not here anymore. People who maybe still live in the area, but they're attending other churches. Maybe they should come. And all churches have this. All churches have people that used to go to the... Some of you are at our church. You used to be at another church. Some people watching today, you used to be at our church, yet you're now in another church. And so what that means is, as Christians, we shouldn't talk to you. Where do you find that? So who should be welcome? You know, discrimination is just not a white-black issue. Well, I don't mind talking to them because they're my friends. But the other people, I don't like some of the things they believe and hold to, and I don't even like the way they look, and so I'm not going to have anything to do with them. Who should come back to the church? I believe everyone should be welcome to church. Jesus Christ welcomed everyone in his ministry, and whole villages would come out to hear him. He didn't say, are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Let me know so I know whether to heal you or not. He didn't say that. Irregardless of their social status, irregardless of their color, Christ reached out to everyone. No matter their sexual orientation, Christ was there for them. And that's what the church should be, a welcoming place. You say, you think we should just believe anything? Now, Jesus didn't do that. He taught the truth. And many people who came to hear him left when the truth was presented. When they said, we just can't live that way. We just can't commit ourselves to scriptural principles. That sort of made the difference. But as far as who was welcomed and who should be reached out to and who should be loved, who is there that you know that Christ didn't die for? Who is there that you know that God doesn't love? There's not one person. And yet sometimes we feel like we do care and love people, but if we are really honest with ourselves, there are just some people that we just don't want to be around for whatever reason. And we've named many categories today, and there may be others like that, but that is not what Christ said. Listen to this verse in James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. Jesus said, they're going to know you by your love. And that is one of the characteristics about our life that will overshadow everything else when people know we care about them. The statement that many of you have heard before, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And God cared about people. Now, he preached the message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But he loved people and he reached out to them. Some of the people that we might consider the worst in society were people that Jesus loved and ministered to and would say to them, you know, I want you to be in my family. But then he would also say, go and sin no more. But he reached out to them. And people today that we feel at odds being around or being associated with, I believe are people that Christ would be in the midst of today. That was characteristic of his ministry. James chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, 1 through 4 say, my dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and others come in who the poor is dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can stand over there or else sit on the floor, well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgment are guided by evil motives? So, to answer that question, who should come back to church? Who should our church reach out to? Every single person. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How should we come back to church? Well, one of the things that we need to make sure is we're coming back focused on what the Word of God says. The Word of God is profitable in your life. Listen to the verse from 1 Timothy chapter 1 that I don't think I have in here. Let me just read it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. All Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do right. God uses it to prepare and equip us or his people for every good work. So as we think about coming back to church, and as we think about growing in our relationship with Christ, and understand the church is not a building. I mean, the church has been meeting the last 3 months. We've just been meeting differently. We've been meeting online, and we've been coming to homes, and you've been praying. And so we have been together just in a different form. We're back together corporately today. But our focus must always be, and has been, on the Word of God and the truths of Scripture. Where the Bible stands is where we need to stand in whatever condition or situation or crisis that we face. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 13, Peter says these words, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Nero, you may remember if you're familiar with history, in 64 AD, Rome caught on fire. Nero was in a villa some 35 miles away from Rome when it happened, and people began to blame him on the fire, that he instigated that or he was behind it because he wanted to make some changes in the physical structure of the city. Rather than take the blame on himself, he began to blame Christians, people who lived in Rome that were looked at as a cult. And so they were easy prey for his fits of rage and blaming them for the fires. And so riots began to happen and Christians began to be killed. This was the time when many were persecuted and were fed to the lions or had to participate in games where they would die. Some of them were actually tied to a stake and burned on fire so that they would serve like torches in the palace area. So it was a terrible time. So many Christians were practicing social distancing. They were leaving Rome. And so when you read the first verse or two of 1 Peter chapter 1, and Peter's writing to these Christians that are scattered abroad, and they're afraid for their life, and they're concerned about what people might do to them and what people might say to them. And a lot of things that, or at least some of the things we're facing in our society today, maybe they were facing at a different extent back then. And so Peter said, I want you, as you're going through these trials in your life, I want you to set your hope or your assurance or your confidence on the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. My middle daughter is her husband is graduating from medical school next year. And so we have already begun to plan a special vacation for after his graduation to celebrate with him. That's over a year away. And so we've already started making some plans. We've not locked in anything yet, but we're looking at airfare. We're looking at hotel staying. We're looking at dates. And many of these things, we've already formulated what we want to do. Now they may come into fruition. They may not, but that's a year in advance. We're already planning for it. I think Paul was saying, Jesus Christ is coming again. You need to be ready. Are you ready to meet him? Do you know him as your Savior? Are you living a life that honors him? And to these persecuted Christians who may die and go meet the Lord, Peter said, there's some things that you need to do. It'll make your Father happy if you live these in your life. And we're only going to mention the first one today, and then we'll look at the rest of this chapter next week. But Peter said, with your minds, let them be alert and fully sober. If you have a King James Version, it says, gird the loins of your mind. Now, if you're familiar with the Roman soldiers, they would have these long flowing robes, and whenever they were in a hurry or in combat, they would take these robes and they would tuck them into their belt so it wouldn't slow down the progress from their motion, from their legs. And so their legs would be exposed as the robes were tied up so they could battle or so they could hurry. They didn't want to be encumbered in any way. And so Peter uses that terminology and says, in our mind, we don't need to be encumbered. We don't need to let things hold us back from doing what God's called us to do, from knowing his truth. And so let your minds be fully alert and let them be sober. What does it mean to be sober? Well, it means the opposite of being drunk. You see, people that drink a lot, you'll find that your mental capacities and even your reflexes are impaired. We talk about impaired drivers. And you're just not as quick mentally or physically as you would if you hadn't been drinking. I mean, that's a fact. And so I think that analogy that Peter is making is this. We need to be girding up the loins of our minds. We don't need to be encumbered in any way. And we need to use our full mental capacities in serving the Lord because he's coming. That goes back to the passage I mentioned in Timothy and in knowing what the truth is and that God's word is profitable for us. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you living your life in a way that is honoring him, knowing that that day's coming? Now, last week we talked about the rapture. And the rapture, I believe, is a time when Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds and he's going to call the church home. He's not going to call this physical building home. He's going to call those who have trusted him as their Savior to go meet him in the air and be with him for 7 years while the tribulation goes on earth. If you were here last week or if you listened last week, we talked about the fact that some people believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, that God's going to call us home 3.5 years into the tribulation. Others believe in a pre-wrath rapture of the church, that during the tribulation, God's going to call us home before that terrible wrath is poured out upon the earth. Others believe in a post-tribulation rapture, which means at the end of the 7 years. Now, I believe the scripture is pretty firm that Christ is coming before the tribulation. But whether he comes before or in the middle or at the end, he's coming. And we're going to have to stand before him. We need to be ready. You see, in Christ's day, if you were involved with a Jewish marriage, there were certain phases to that marriage you would participate in. One was the engagement, or the scriptural term in the New Testament is the betrothal period. That's a term that we don't use today. You don't say, my wife and I just got betrothed. You know, you're going to say engaged. But it's a little bit different than our engagement in that it was a legally binding contract. That's why when Joseph thought Mary was unfaithful to him, she wanted to divorce him privately because they were legally married, even though they had not consummated the marriage physically. And so for the Jewish marriages, there was the betrothal period. It would usually last about a year. They would be legally married, but they would not be living together yet. And then the groom would go back to his father's house. And he would build a room there at his father's house. It would really be the bridal chamber that he's going to take his bride to and consummate the marriage. And so she's here waiting for him to come. There would be a day that he would come, and she didn't really know when that day was. And he would just shout, I'm here, or whatever he said. And people inside would say, hey, your honey's out there. And she would go outside, and he would take her back to the Father's house. Do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14? Let not your hearts be troubled. I'm going to my Father's house, and I'm going to make a place for you. Now, we see in the King James mansion, but it's the idea of a dwelling place. I'm going to make a bridal chamber for you. And there's one day when Jesus is going to come in the air, and he's going to shout, come on up here! And his bride, the church, is going to go be with him. He's going to take us back to the Father's house. When that happened, the groom would take his bride to the bridal chamber. They would stay there for a week to consummate the marriage. And then after that time, they would come out and greet their guest and enter into the marriage feast. I believe that is a picture of the rapture of the church, too. That Jesus is going to call us home. We're going to be in the bridal chamber, not for 7 days, but for 7 years. We're going to enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then we're going to come back with him, as was happening in the marriage supper. The point is, you need to think correctly. I hear kids say sometimes, you shouldn't have stinking thinking. You know, is your life guided by the principles of Scripture? There are things in the Bible that are going to be easy for you to do. There's going to be other things in the Bible which are going to be more difficult for you to do. We'll talk about that next week. There are things that you used to do that you thought were okay. And then after you became a Christian, you realized maybe I shouldn't think that way or participate in those things. You were ignorant in your thinking, Peter says in the latter part of this chapter. And so my challenge to you is to get in the Word of God. And one of the ways that you can make your dad happy, your father happy, your heavenly father happy, this Father's Day and throughout the year, is to renew your commitment to read God's Word and to apply it to your life. Now, we have given out some booklets over the past several months that I've titled New Testament Journeys. And my challenge to our church was read through the entire New Testament this year. You can do that by reading about 4 chapters a day. And so each quarter we've put out a book. January, February, and March we gave out a booklet. April, May, and June, which we're almost finished with that one. And by next Sunday, we'll have the next booklet through. If you want it earlier than that and you can get it online, let us know. We'll send it to you. But it just has some questions and some things to meditate about. Whether you use that booklet or Daily Bread or your own personal Bible study or whatever you do, let the truth of the Word of God guide your life. God did not give us His Word to make us unhappy or to ruin our lives. He gave it to us as a guidebook. This is the way to life. This is the way to honor me, and this is the best way to live. And many of us find that out by trial and error, don't we? I know the Bible says that, but I'm going to do this. And we do, and somewhere down the road, we realize we shouldn't have taken that road, and we go back to what God's truth said. Make your father happy this year by committing yourself to reading and obeying His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come and worship today, and thank you for those who've come out and those that are watching online. We ask that you'll draw all of us closer to you. We do want to remember Stan and Wanda Smith's son, Austin, today. He's having surgery this week. He had surgery procedures earlier this week, and then again coming up Friday for really some brain surgery to try to deal with seizures, and we Pray for the family in Austin that, and the doctors, that you will guide them and that all will go well, and the recovery and the seizures will dramatically decrease. Father, help us know the timing and what we should do as a church, and our outreach opportunities, and what we do internally with our ministries, and do that which is safe and proper. Guide us in that way. We thank you for your love to us, and we pray that our lives today and this week and this month and this year will make you happy and please you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming today. I had told our deacons we would just encourage you, if you wanted to meet each other, to do so outside. Just do what you want to do.